I'd like to read a few verses in the Epistle to the Romans in chapter 10. Romans 10 and verse 8. But what says it? That's a scripture. The word is near thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from among the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart is believed to righteousness, and with the mouth confession made to salvation. For the scripture says, no one believing on him shall be ashamed. For there is no difference of Jew and Greek, for the same Lord of all is rich towards all that call upon him. For every one whosoever who shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without one who preaches? And how shall they preach unless they have been sent? According as it is written, how beautiful the feet of them that announce glad tidings of peace, of them that announce glad tidings of good things. And then if you could turn with me, please, to... Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, middle of verse, starting at verse 11. And he said, that is Jesus, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give to me the share of the property that falls to me. And he divided to them what he was possessed of. And after not many days, the younger son, gathering all together, went away into a country a long way off. And then in the same gospel, in chapter 10, verse 30, a certain man descended from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who also, having stripped him and inflicted wounds, went away, leaving him in a half-dead state. In verse 33, but a certain Samaritan journeying came to him, and seeing him was moved with compassion. We're each one on a journey. And the message of the gospel is, how have we prepared for that journey? If you're setting out on a short journey, your preparations may be different from if you are setting out on a long journey. But I'm talking about the journey of life and how much more necessary it is for the preparation of that journey that we should be diligent in how we approach it. You may think it's necessary to take a great deal of things with you. We know, practically speaking, it's necessary to take certain things if we're going away. One of the things, if you're going to leave the shores of this land, is you need a passport. You won't get very far if you're leaving these shores without one. And if you're hoping that your earthly journey ends in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ, you will certainly need a passport. May I ask, what is that passport going to be? What does it consist of? It's not a little red book that we have here with the Queen's insignia on it. It's nothing like that at all. The passport that we need for the earthly journey that we are on consists of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and of his precious shed blood. The hymn says, nothing in my hand I bring. You may prepare for lots of things you may think that are necessary for this journey. You may think it's necessary to have a real understanding as to the scriptures. It's a good thing to have, but it won't save you. Or your knowledge that you have gleaned over the years as to doctrine is not going to save you. How then, where I read, how then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? The first thing we need to do is to believe. You may say that's a simple thing, but you know, believing can be difficult if we're going to use our own minds and imagination. Man's wisdom, we spoke about it a little bit this afternoon. Man's wisdom will keep you off this journey, keep you off the right path. It'll lead you into temptation. How wonderful it is to know the confession of the name of the Lord Jesus. It says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from among the dead, thou shalt be saved. Thou wilt, if you like, you will have entrance into that place where the Lord Jesus reigns supreme. If you haven't got that assurance, then you haven't got the passport that I'm referring to. How necessary it is to be assured that your entry into that place will be as smooth as it could possibly be. There'll be no questioning, no wondering at the last whether your entrance is secure and safe. You know, I was going to speak about God's requirements, and I think it's important perhaps that I do. God's requirements for entry is that you are to be found here righteous. How can that be? Because we're born in sin. We've come under the sentence of death. How can you be fit for God's presence? God requires righteousness. He doesn't deviate. His principles do not waver. God requires a righteous basis for you to gain entry into his presence. And so when you think about your history, I think about my history, and I measure it to the standard that God requires, I realise how lacking I am. God required a perfect sacrifice. Where was he to find that perfect sacrifice? In the blood of the offerings of the Old Testament, it was satisfied for a time. But it wasn't sufficient. There was still something there that God required of man's hand. And you know, the obeying of the law couldn't do it. No matter how hard they may have tried, they couldn't find that what they did met the righteous requirements of God. You think, you know, the very foolishness of our thoughts is sin before God. How sobering that is. Ecclesiastes tells us about the thoughts of man. Tells us about the mirth of fools compared with the solemnity of God's presence. So how can I gain access? I believe, but how can I gain access? It is by acceptance of the precious shed blood of the Lord Jesus, because he is your offering. He is the substitute. He has taken your place. Blessed be his name that he should do so. That he should come to this scene of poverty and humility and take his place, your place, but he took it between two robbers. He took his that place for you. Think of the lowliness of the Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, taking that place either side of two robbers. And yet he did it because of the greatness of his love. How thankful we are for the greatness of God's love. It has superseded all other love that this world glibly speaks of, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to you right where you are. I was struck with what I read. No one believing on him shall be ashamed. There is no difference of Jew and Greek, for the same Lord of all is rich towards all that call upon him. Anyone too wicked for that? Anyone too far gone in sin that verse doesn't cover? The answer is no. Everyone. No matter what we may think of a person's history, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus covers it. Such is God's righteousness that he can do nothing else. You know, our righteousness and God's righteousness may be very different. But you know, God cannot lie. He cannot bend his principles. He cannot alter his statutes. If you've trusted in the precious work of the Lord Jesus, you will be safe for now and for eternity. So there's this matter of faithfulness. How shall they hear without one who preaches? How shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? This is the time of hearing. This is the time when the Lord Jesus would make his appeal to your heart. I read in Luke, I suppose it's a verse well known to us, but it just occurred to me to read it today, because I was thinking of this younger son. And you know, he was preparing for this journey that I was speaking of. He'd prepared for it, I think. This was premeditated, we would say. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give to me the share of the property that falls to me." And then it says, after not many days, the younger son, gathering all together, went away. He'd amassed everything that he thought he was going to need. But he found, after not too long a time, that he was wanting. All that he'd amassed, all that he'd gathered together for this journey, proved to be non-essential. He forgot the most essential thing, that is, to have Christ in his life. Have you got Christ in your life? Is he the one that is before you? Thinking about the dream of the butler, he said he had a vine before him. Have you a vine before you? Are you able to bring in refreshment to the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he not worthy of your allegiance? Is he not worthy of your true affection? I would appeal to the young, because the Lord Jesus needs your commitment. He needs to know that you are determined to follow him, come what may. Difficult though the pathway will be, and it will be difficult. I can tell you, the pathway has not been an easy one, and the pathway is going to get more difficult if we're left here. And then I just thought about this man. I know that this is a parable, but it speaks about a man descending from Jerusalem to Jericho. Oh dear, if you're on a journey, make sure you're going in the right direction. No good getting lost. What a dreadful situation to be lost. You feel like giving up. This man certainly had given up. He was left in a half-dead state. But how thankful we are for the man that found him journeying. The Lord Jesus has made a journey especially for you, especially for me. And he's found you. He's taken you and put you on his own beast. He's brought you to the inn, the place of safety. It's not recorded that this man ever left the place. Place he'd arrived, you might say, at his desired haven. Didn't know it at the time, but his destination wasn't Jericho. I hope your destination isn't Jericho either. I hope you know where you're going. I hope you have that passport that is necessary for entrance into Christ's kingdom. May you bless the word.
Amen.